What is up, Mo Nation? It's the guys from Plant the Spear back with you for another episode. Thank you for tuning in. Michael, we got a lot to catch up on.
Yeah,
it's been a little bit. We took a little week off here recently. If you guys can't tell, this is going to be my flu game podcast.
Right.
It's been rough. Your boy's been going through it, Michael, for the last week. So, started with a little back injury at work. Now I think I'm getting sick. Just kind of all compounded at once. So we took a little bit of time off, but we're back for you. We're going to fight through it. We're going to make it through this episode. So with that being said, if I call for something, if I die in the middle of the episode, just listen to what Michael has to say and keep on trucking. I have the stop button, so just call 911 and
that's
they'll
right.
They'll get me sorted out. Michael, thank you so much for joining me. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. It seems like we've passed the game. Last couple episodes, I was under the weather, couldn't stop from coughing, had to mute so much, and now there you are. So I'll try to do you the same favor you did to me and help you out wherever I can.
I appreciate that. But it was nice, man. It was nice to be off for a little bit. I'm excited to be back in. While we were off, I did take a trip down to a concert in Jacksonville. And I got to give a shout out to the people that were tailgating with us in the parking lot. They okay. subbed to the YouTube channel. We're pulling up, getting parked, and it's kind of like you're parking next to each other. So you're tailgating next to each other, and they get out. And the one young lady, she was actually an FSU student, had the old logo on a hat. Nice. So I was like, I'm digging it already.
That's right.
So we ended up turning out to be a bunch of Florida State neighbors. And then right before we walked into the show, we had a little Bluetooth speaker. We put the war chant on. And it was funny because it was like, the little meerkats or whatever in the jungle. Yeah. Like everybody's popping up and like doing the war chant from across the parking lot. So we summoned all the FSU fans. So that's right. I'm telling you, man, I'm one of those Noel fans. I always chop at people. I always say go Noel.
That's right. That's right.
And what's funny is because since I moved to Charlotte, I forget sometimes when I go back to Florida that it's normal to see FSU stuff. Up here, you're like, oh yeah, we're together. Go Noel.
Yeah.
Screw the Tigers.
That's right.
But when you're in Florida, you're like, everybody's got FSU. Everybody. But I still say go Noel. So.
Oh, dude, I used to feel that all the time living in California. It'd be like Christmas Day when I'd see somebody with like Noel's gear on. I'd literally go out of my way. My wife used to get so mad at me. I'd go out of my way and be like, hey. Go Noles. And so now in Florida, I'm like, go. Oh yeah, there's like 50 of you standing here.
It's right, okay. Like this is normal. I know normal. We'll be riding like on our way to Tallahassee, and I'm like, look at a Florida State sticker, and I'm like, oh, we're in Florida. Whereas up here, you're like, yeah. But anyway, man, let's just jump into this one. So first off, speaking of Tallahassee, I think the way I want to start this episode is obviously our thoughts and prayers are out to those that were affected by the storms in Tallahassee. Absolutely. I've seen some pretty jarring pictures of, trees down and like Dick Howser Stadium even took some damage from this storm. So for those of you probably without power right now, just recovering from those storms, obviously be safe out there. Check on your loved ones and your friends and neighbors. You never know what the person next to you has got going on. You may be the only person there to check on them. And, I've been a first responder for a long time. And a lot of times people don't have anyone to check on them. Yeah. So, just show the love for your friends and neighbors. And obviously, like we said, our thoughts and prayers go out to all those affected because, man, it's those storms are so scary. I mean, we got one here the other night that thankfully we didn't have any tornadoes. But, man, it's scary when it comes. I mean, everything's absolutely. Just lightning and thunder and wind and rain. And you're just hoping that damage doesn't happen. And apparently Tallahassee took a lot of it.
Yeah, I mean, those storms can just pop up on you, those ones that come on suddenly and you don't have time to prepare and get out. And so, we're praying for those that were affected by the storms and, for those first responders that are, out there helping as well. So we, grateful for them, grateful for people like you, Jesse, who put your, life on the line to make sure that people get taken care of. So, man, we're with you, Tallahassee. So,
yeah. And so. We'll stay on a little bit of the not positive side of things real quick. We'll just get this one announcement out of the way. This is some unfortunate news that, we kind of expected this, Michael. It's just kind of the lack of information coming out for so long led you to believe this is kind of where we thought this was headed. And Mike Norvell stated earlier this week that Destin Hill will be out for the season. And I think, you have to look at this from a couple perspectives. First off, you obviously have to go to Destin's perspective.
Right.
He waited, 2 to 3 years before he was able to get in college?
2.5 years, yeah.
Last year he started to come on. You saw him make some progress, dealt with being banged up throughout the season there as well. Then you hear he's making a huge impact in spring. Yep. That speed is elite. It's next level. He's looking like he's ready to step into a starting role. And now he goes down with a season-ending injury. Now, we don't know the extent of the injury, but, you really hate to see a kid who's battled through what he's battled through before. And we may never know the true reason why he wasn't on campus early,
right.
But right. The fact remains, he stayed ready.
He stayed
so
ready.
So, like, it was probably not on him. And so, man, my heart goes out to that kid for having to deal with another setback.
Yeah.
But like I've told people, I mean, he's shown you before that he's not going to let this stop
That's
him.
Right.
And I have no doubt that Destin is going to bounce back from this. You know, I think also from a little bit of a selfish perspective, it does also hurt the team. I mean, you thought he was going to have a really big impact
That's right.
on this offense this year. So, you know, maybe so far I haven't heard anything about a wide receiver in the portal. I know they've kicked the tires on a few guys. The kid from Arizona State was the last one I heard about, but maybe this heightens the sense of urgency, but I believe they knew this for a little while. You know, they just haven't clarified on it yet, but man, I hate that for him. And I hate that for the Florida State team in 2024, because he was going to be a really big part of this offense.
Yeah. I mean, it's heartbreaking for this kid. I mean, gosh, just like you said, just the adversity that he's already gone through. You know, when he signed to Florida State, he was penciled in as like almost a day one. This kid is getting on the field somehow, some way. And then he doesn't see the field or Florida State for almost a little over 2.5 years, gets here, shows hot flashes. You know, like I remember one time I was thinking there was I think it was a Syracuse game. He had a catch and I was like, oh, Mike is cooking with grease right now with this kid. And then, of course, the injuries bang up. And then like you said, like we were getting reports that, man, he is dominating in the spring. He was coming on like he's going to have a great year, and then to have this setback. And, you know, we're not going to speculate what the injury is, but, we do know it's season ending. And so our thoughts and prayers are with him. And here's the thing, though. This kid has proven, Jesse, that he's like the mythical Phoenix. He might go down, but that dude will rise from the ashes again. And so I know he'll come back next year. He'll be even better, and Florida State will be even better for it. So, man, get well, get better. I mean, you saw Mike talked about how he's already attacking rehab, like he's getting ready to play. So that's a good report. And so, man, we can't wait to see you back on the field next season.
Right. And if you want to look at a positive light in a negative situation, at least it happened this early in the spring. Yeah, so you would feel that it's not a late season injury Correct. Where the next season is a question. Like if he stays around and he does the rehab and all that stuff, he'll be ready to go for 25. That's right. So that is important too. So speaking of injuries, and let's switch to some positive news. The reports that Mike Norvell gave the updates on wide receiver Malik Benson and offensive lineman TJ Ferguson were both positive. It seems like they're recovering fine. They'll be available for the season. And that's huge. I mean, obviously, TJ Ferguson was one of the guys that you were really excited about to get on that offensive line just because of his, you know, really his size and his stature and his frame and coming from Alabama and all that. And then, of course, Malik Benson is probably your most important offensive piece this year. I mean, you know, you got to have him. You know, even if you looked at, like DJ, you feel good about Brock, you know, running backs, you got a stable. But if something were to happen to Malik Benson, we were already concerned at wide receiver. Right. So getting a positive update is huge, man. And so, whether or not they're able to go get another wide receiver in the portal. And speaking of the portal, we're going to talk about some commitments in just a second. You know, there hasn't been a lot, but do keep in mind that graduation just happened last week. So there still could be some grad transfers that pop into the portal. So this isn't over yet. I mean, we got Keon Coleman super late. I think that was like, what, June? And then Dylan Gibbons was another really late addition. That doesn't mean you still can't find pieces. But, man, to have that positive update from Malik Benson, that's going to be huge. And, of course, you can never have a shortage of solid offensive linemen. So the fact that TJ Ferguson is going to be okay is, of course, huge news for FSU.
Yeah, I think with Malik Benson, you know, when he went down in the spring showcase, I think I was ready to just go ahead and like just throw myself into a trash can. Like this can't be happening again. And so that was great news. You know, Mike said that he'll definitely be ready for fall camp. He is, I mean, it's without question, at least in my mind, that he's probably wide out one, you know? And so you definitely want to make sure that he is ready to go, that, you know, no complications for that injury. So that's really good news. And I've also been penciling in TJ Ferguson in the starting lineup for the offensive line. Like I've been thinking that way. And so to have him be able to, you know, as Mike said, be back for fall camp, that, you know, both of them are progressing well, that's great news. But I also, like you, am a little bit curious with Destin going down of thinking like, I mean, it's not that we needed wide receiver help, but, you know, it'd feel nice to be able to grab, you know, maybe a rotational piece out of the portal from wide receiver that, you know, has some production. I feel like that would be good, but, you know, I trust Mike and them to figure out how they want to attack that open roster spot with Destin now going to be missing the season.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point because we felt like we could use a little bit of help at wide receiver, knowing that you still had everybody in the boat.
Right.
After that's post-spring, of course. And then you lose one of your top pieces in the slot. So right. Now you would just feel better knowing that you kind of weren't certain, you weren't sold right. on it yet. Maybe if they could add another piece. But again, we'll have to see. I mean, you know, this year might just be one of those years where you have to play some young guys. You have That's to right. live and die by, you know, the high school recruits on your roster. And it's going to be time for those guys to step up. And a lot That's of right. that has to do with a lack of pieces in the portal. You know, this is something that we saw this go around where everybody made these big predictions that this was right. going to be a crazy portal session. And it turned out to really. It really did not. And I think you're maybe finally starting to see kids realize that it's not always the grass is not always greener That's on the right. other side. And that, Michael, leads us into our next segment where we're going to talk about the pieces that we brought in. You know, they have that saying where it's like, if you love something, Michael, let it go.
Oh.
And if it comes back, it's yours.
It's yours.
Welcome back, Duke Cooper.
Welcome back. Welcome back.
I hope it was a fun stay in Colorado, but he comes back to Florida State. And, you know, I think, man, it's just you really are starting to see where some kids are realizing that maybe chasing a brighter pasture or a bigger check or whatever the case may be isn't always the best move. And so you do see him come back. I know there's some mixed reviews on this. You know, people thought because he had regressed a little bit, but
yeah,
I think the important thing to remember here about Amarion Cooper was he was good at that one point. I think it was his sophomore year.
Yeah, 2021.
Right. He really started to ascend late in the season. Now, he has not played for Patrick Surtain. That was all under Marcus Woodson. And, you know, we saw Renardo Green. We saw a lot of these guys really start to elevate their game. So he's an experienced guy. He knows your defense because it's still an Adam Fuller defense. You may change some things with the DB, having a new DB coach, but it's still the same defense. He's an experienced player. You lost Greedy Vance. So you feel like maybe it just gives you a little bit more experience depth at corner that is familiar with your defense. And so I think if you can get him in here and work with Surtain. You know, I was a little sad when we lost Amarion Cooper because I had really high hopes for him and Kevin Knowles, who really both had that big sophomore season. Then you see him dip to Colorado. He did start for them. So, man, I think this is one of those where I don't want to guarantee something I don't know, but I think he's coming back as a PWO. So I think it's a great take. I mean, if you can send him out as a scholarship and get him back as a PWO, man, I think it's a good ad because, again, he's experienced. He's familiar with the defense. He's familiar with how things run in Tallahassee. And, you know, give him some time with Patrick Surtain, and I think you'll see him get back to that level we saw him right before he left.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I just think, you know, he left here and he went to go play for prime time, and maybe it wasn't prime time enough or it wasn't. I don't know. I don't try to trash Dion. He's a Florida State alum or player at least. And so he's doing what he's doing out there in Colorado. I'm actually happy to have, you know, Amarion, or as we affectionately call him, Duke Cooper, have him back on the team. I mean, like you said, 2021, he was one of our best corners. And that's saying a lot because he played for Marcus Woodson, who was, you know, we have thoughts about him as the DB coach. But then he regressed and, you know, kind of lost his starting job and then left to go to, you know, Colorado and play corner there. And as you saw, that defense was hot garbage. So it didn't really help. And so usually, though, what's interesting about this, Jesse, is this is one of the first times we've seen, at least for Florida State, a player leave via the transfer portal and then make their way back to Florida State.
Yeah.
This is the first player to do it. And so what I remember hearing Mike Norvell talk about this in an interview of saying, like, you know, usually these players leave and they don't leave very well. And so the door is pretty closed. You know, you're not coming back. I'm sure there were players that left well that Mike would welcome back if they wanted to. But usually that didn't happen. So for the fact to see Amarion come back, whether it's a PWO or a scholarship, whatever it may be, that tells you that he actually left really well, maintained a great relationship. And I think you hit on a very key point, Jesse. He played under Marcus Woodson, not Patrick Surtain. And we've seen, for the most part, that Patrick Surtain has been way more boom. And I don't know if there's any bust. I mean, I know Kevin Knowles is still growing, but he's been way more boom than he's been bust with these DBs. I mean, we literally are going into the season with probably one of the top rated DB backfields in the country. Like our passing defense feels like it's going to be, again, one of the top 10 passing defense in the country. And so Amarion coming there, you know, he's probably going to challenge my suspicion is he's probably going to challenge for either that slot corner spot with Earl Little Jr., or he's probably going to challenge for that open safety position alongside of Shaheen Brown. So I'm curious to see kind of what they want to do with him. But I'm excited to have him back. I mean, when he was good, he was good.
Yeah, no, I agree, man. And that's the thing is you see how good Florida State's pass defense got under Patrick Surtain. So you bring him back. He's experienced. He knows his way around this defense. And so I don't think it's ever a bad thing to take a guy who's experienced and can jump right back in the system. And I think that does speak to, you know, maybe how he was before he left, you know, personal from a personal standpoint, from a professional standpoint, from a player standpoint, he was talented. And I think that's, like you said, that's why you see them come back, because I mean, I'm not 100% sure, but I'm 99% sure. I think Tafasi's back in the portal.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's a couple of guys that have left FSU that are back in the portal for a second time that are still looking for a home. And I mean, you look at the Rodney Hill situation and how that went.
That's
you know,
right.
I think that's one where the door was not going to be opened again. And so you know, if you have someone that you feel like is a value add and you want to let them come back, I just think it's, you know, we used to have things in high school. It was like they had to vote to let you back on the team.
That's right. Yeah, I remember that.
So hopefully maybe everybody's cool with them. But I think it's a part of the game, man. You know what I mean? It's part of the game that it is. But another big commitment that, Michael, I'm really excited about. This is the one that really got me excited, because I think it was a big fill at a position of need. Probably really the best available target that you could have got out there in the portal. And that's Cam Riley coming in at linebacker. So played for Auburn, right around 1,000 snaps. I was looking him up the other day. He was around 900 plus snaps. His last season, he had a 66.6 grade. So that's above average. Keep in mind, 60 is average. So it's above average. It's not great, but it's above average.
Yep.
He's 6'5", 242. That's, to me, what stands out more than anything is you just get incredible size at the linebacker position because, I mean, you look at DJ Lundy. He's a thick guy. He's not super tall. And Justin Cryer's pretty short, you know. So it gives you a different type of linebacker, a different build of linebacker than you had before. It also gives you a guy that's experienced. I mean, you know, we talked about Sean Murphy being a little bit light in the seat, kind of getting blocked in the spring game, didn't really look overly impressive. So you're kind of wondering where you're going to go. And it's not that those guys can't be good. It's not that those guys can't develop in the summer, in the fall, and be ready to go. But I think what Cam Riley does, I think he gives you that floor guy, like where it's like, okay, this guy comes in, he's played 900 snaps college football in the SEC. And as much as, you know, we feel one way or another about the SEC, it's kind of the best.
It's still the SEC.
It's still the SEC. So like if you're playing against, you know, the Georgias and the Alabamas and all that stuff, you've seen some stuff, you know what I mean?
Right.
So I think that this is one that elevates your floor. And I think this is a guy that you can throw on the field against Georgia Tech.
Yeah,
like right now, there's no guesswork. And, you know, he was committed to NC State for a little bit, backed off that commitment. Who knows why? I'm assuming maybe Big Bank take Little Bank. Mm. You know, maybe we're like, we got more trophies and bigger checks. What do you want? You know,
what do you want?
Exactly. Come spend some time in the Sunshine State. So he does come in. But, man, I'll be honest, when I saw that we missed him to NC State, I was kind of like, okay, well, NC State typically has a good defense. They typically have good linebackers. You saw Peyton Wilson last year who left them, who was an all-ACC linebacker. So it kind of was one of those, you know, when you see a team that's known for a good position, like if you see an Oklahoma or something, a quarterback coming out of Oklahoma, you're like, that chances are that guy's good.
Right.
And so NC State, they might not be good at much, but I do, you know, they typically have a good defense. So to see that lets you know that if they were interested, the guy's probably going to be a good take. And, man, I'm excited because this was – you know, when you talk about what we may or may not end up getting out of the portal, a lot of it, I think, were like luxury wants. You know, you wanted the help. You wanted the extra piece. You wanted that big game that you were going out to hunt. But linebacker felt like somewhere you needed help.
Oh, that was a need.
And so, And so you filled a position of need. And that's what you get from Cam Riley. So, to me, I mean, he's about as good as you were going to get in the portal at linebacker. And so, you know, even if it's been a slow season, man, that's not going to stop Mike Norvell and the staff from going out and finding the best pieces available to fill up this roster.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, we here at Planet Spirit, we're not negative about much about this program and this coaching staff and the way they recruit and how they're doing things. I mean, we're pretty much, I mean, if I had a grade to give this program, you know, especially over the last 2 years, but, you know, overall, I'd say this is a solid A, what they're doing. And we all know that they had to work through some really crappy situation and, you know, empty, you know, cupboard with the players and stuff. But so we're not negative on most things. The one thing that we have kind of been negative of is it's just the linebacker recruiting and development. And so when Cam Riley committed to NC State, I'm not gonna lie, I was like, here we go again with this linebacker stuff. Why are we missing on this? It's a problem. So to be able to get a second chance at it and actually nail it down. So I'm gonna give props where props due. So to, you know, Randy Shannon, to that defensive staff, thank you for not missing the boat on this one and sealing this deal. Because this guy, he's not like an all-world guy. He's not, you know, your five-star coming in, you know, played, a lot of stuff and did a lot of great things. But he's a player that comes in with consistency. He has starts. He has played in many games over the last 2 years. He has 120 career tackles, 2.5 sacks. He has an 85.1% tackling mark from Pro Football Focus. Like, you know, that's pretty decent. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's a guy that has played. So he's going to have experience. Like you said, he's going to be this plug and play dude that you can put in against Georgia Tech and not so much worry what you're going to get out of him with. Because with everybody else outside of DJ Lundy and maybe Blake Nicholson, you kind of didn't know what you were going to get. And the fact that he's 6'5", we talked about this in the pre-show, but with somebody over the middle at 6'5", and you got Patrick Payton on the line that's just as tall. I mean, how many passes are getting out of there without getting swatted down? I remember when living in California, I'd go to the USC games. They had a linebacker. I think he's still there, named Eric Gentry. He's 6'6", number 19. Jeez. And he plays in the middle of that defense in the mic spot. And oh my gosh, every time he's swatting down balls. So throwing over the middle, defenses just learned, or offenses that were playing USC would just learn, like, you're not going to throw over the middle because he's there and he's going to be swatting passes down. So to be able to have a defender like this at 6'5", I'm sure Adam Fuller will leverage that height and his ability. And I'm excited about this. This is what we needed. Yes, like you said, this was a need. This was not a want. This was not like a, if we can. No, we needed to find another productive linebacker. So I give the staff a lot of kudos for going out and sealing the deal on this one.
Oh, man, I wholeheartedly agree. And the thing is, like, this is what we had been saying the entire time, that this is what you wanted. We didn't you didn't need to necessarily go out and get an all-world linebacker.
No.
You just needed someone who has 100 tackles in their career, someone who's played, someone who can get on the field and there's no guesswork, someone who can allow Blake Nicholson to continue to develop your young guys. And so I think that's exactly what he provides you. And I mean, you also mentioned it, like, Pat Payton is the batted ball king. So like, if you put these two guys together, you know, we might see a lot of passes get deflected. I also want to touch on the thing where there's been a lot of people that like to jump into comment sections anytime you take a player. You know, anytime a player leaves your school, he sucks. Even though you bought his jersey a month before he left because he was the best thing you had. Now he's terrible because he left. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of people that said, like, you know, he's a good guy, but he couldn't beat out some freshmen and all that stuff. Man, here's the thing. We talk about the recruiting at linebacker and stuff like that. You look at what they've been able to do with the linebackers that they took, though, and the development that they've been able to do. Also, not even just at linebacker, just the other positions. I mean, you look at the way they've accelerated Johnny Wilson's career, Trey Benson's career. You look at all those, and man, like, I haven't got a chance to watch the full thing yet, but the recent episode of The Climb, where you hear some of these, you know, I saw Trey Benson where he had a conversation with Mike Norvell on the phone, was like, man, thank you for taking a chance on me.
Yeah.
None of this would be possible without you. And so I think, you know, you can have your opinion on the guy, but there's so many examples of players that didn't really do much at their former school that came to Florida State and turned into that all conference type of player, that NFL draft pick type of player. And so to me, you're getting size, experience, and a guy that can come in and you can kind of mold that clay and he can be a high floor guy. You know, I feel a lot better going into the season with Cam Riley lining up next to DJ Lundy and then being able to use Blake Nicholson in packages and being able to use some of these other guys, right. Sean Murphy, to let him have maybe a couple games to develop, see what he turns out to be. You know, it's added depth. So I think this was a huge get for them at the biggest need that you had. Now, moving on, I will say that it looks like, so the Grand Valley State defensive tackle, I forget his name, but he James did Fox. Not. Yeah, he did not include Florida State in his top four. So yeah. It looks like you're out of it with him. It, again, keep in mind, like we just talked about, you could still pop in the portal as a grad transfer. They don't follow right. that portal window. They can get in whenever they want. And you just had graduation last week, so you may have some more guys pop in. Michael, it looks like you might be rolling with what you got going into this season, especially at the defensive tackle position. But, you know, we've talked about this before where you make the comparison all the time that I think is excellent with the wins above replacement.
That's right.
Is this guy, I mean, would you like to have him from an experience standpoint, from a depth span, standpoint? Yeah, that would be awesome to have. Is he better than KJ Sampson? Is he better than Daniel Lyons? Probably not. I mean, those guys from coming out of the high school ranks were probably a higher touted prospect. They just haven't had the experience yet, but that doesn't mean they're not a better player.
Right.
So I think it's one of those where we don't know why Florida State didn't make the top four. I'm sure maybe they did want him. Maybe it was an NIL thing. You know, maybe he's looking to start. You're not, you know, he's not going to start at Florida State.
Right.
You're not going to pay him starter money at Florida State. So I think, again, man, if you have to roll with what you got, I think that it's probably as good as what you're going to get out of this kid anyway. I would love to have some depth, but, you know, we were talking before the show. I think with defensive tackle, it's like you wanted an additional piece in yeah. case – say Grady Kelly doesn't turn out to be what you correct. Want him to be. In case one of your two starters goes down, you don't have that wide gap. But I think if you stay healthy at the position, you feel good about where you're at yeah. with some of the guys. Yeah. And I just don't think this was a needle mover for me. I think this was a solid depth piece. So I don't think it's a huge miss. It's just unless you find someone else as a grad transfer, you're just gonna hope injury luck stays on right. your side.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, you're down a defensive tackle, you know, recruit that you were looking at. But, you know, again, it's still early. They could still pick somebody right. up. But, man, I don't think it's a huge loss. I don't think it's going to change anything for you. I'm more excited about getting Cam Riley.
Yes.
You know, than I would have been this guy by far.
Yeah. I agree with you as well, too. Like, now, you know, we've both said this in the pre-show that, you know, if this staff is going after somebody from, you know, Grand Valley State, then they obviously see something in it, and they've earned our benefit of the doubt, trust, right? To say, okay, you know what? They've proven to us that they can go down to these lower level schools, find diamonds in the rough, and developing them to first round NFL draft picks.
A la Jerry Hurst.
Second, third round NFL draft picks, a la Braden Fist, right? They've proven that they can take you know, players who didn't do much at previous universities, a la Trey Benson, a la Jermaine Johnson, a la Johnny Wilson, and turn them into, you know, high productive players who get drafted. So them going after Javar Suggs was like, okay, that's interesting, but maybe they see something we don't know. I mean, the kid had, you know, 8 sacks in his total career. He had 42 total tackles. And so maybe this was like the thing that we were saying, like, hey, it would be nice to have just a depth piece in case injury or Grady Kelly mm-hmm. doesn't work out, right? And so the fact that he didn't include FSU in his final four leads me. Now, Jesse, this is Michael, okay? I'm not speaking for Florida State. I'm not even speaking for Plant the Spear right now. I'm just saying for me, it probably leads me to believe that because he did come to the visit, and either Florida State, you know, as we've heard so much, they do their due diligence. More than any program in the country, they evaluate not just skill and talent, but like mentals, emotionals, how they fit with the team, culture, how they're going to do off the field, how they're going to do in the classroom, how they're going to do with friends. And I mean, they evaluate everything. And so one of two things for me feels like he came, they assessed, they felt nah, or they liked, but his asking price did not match the player that he thought he was. And they were like, nah, we're not going to do that. We're not going to mess up our culture, what we got going, to overpay you, and you're not even going to be a starter, or you just don't fit really what we're looking for. So, man, good luck to you. That's my belief, Jesse. Mm-hmm. Again, that's not representative of Florida State or Plant the Spear, but that's kind of where I think this really kind of landed.
No, I mean, I think that's a fair take, man, because you also have to look at, if you were going to spend that money, would you be better off, you know, maybe putting it towards keeping KJ Sampson or right. Daniel Lyons, or bringing in a guy who's going to be a rotational piece? And that's pretty right. much it. And I mean, again, like you said, you got to trust their evaluations. You got to trust their development. If they saw something, I mean, they saw something in a guy from some little old D2 school that's named right. Jared Verse.
That's
and,
right.
you know, look at what he turned out to be. So I think that is important to remember. And we also talked about how slow the portal season was. And you have teams like Alabama, Arizona, Washington, Michigan, off the top of my head that I can think of, that all had coaching changes, that they did not get that opportunity in the fall to go out and get guys. So, you know, like we were talking about before the show, he may be asking for more than you want to pay for a rotational right. piece. And the market will self-correct at some point That's with some right. of these insane offers. But, you know, let's just say, because I want to say, without looking it up, I want to say Michigan made his top four. You might have a school like Michigan who didn't get a chance to go out and do portal hunting in the fall. Well, now they don't have a choice. They have to pretty much overspend to get what they need, because they don't have another chance at this. This is all they got. Yep. You know, you lost guys, but you didn't really get a chance to bring anybody in. That's and right. so that may be the case of what they're doing there. You know, it's just hard to say why it happened. You don't know who it was, but either right. way, I mean, like I said, I don't think this is a huge needle mover. So I think you'll be fine. And yeah. I mean, again, when it becomes forced scarcity in the portal, right. because there just wasn't a whole lot there.
That's right.
And I think it's important to realize that, you know, from a Florida State perspective, we didn't really lose anybody. I
That's
mean,
right.
outside of Greedy Vance, which we just both said you could probably replace with Duke Cooper.
Yep.
You didn't really lose anybody. And I think right. that's huge, man. That has really become maybe even the first arm, but the third arm in recruiting. You have high right. school, you have portal, and you have roster retention.
That's right.
It can change every year. And it's almost more important now of who you keep from leaving the roster than who you add to it. And that's... so I think it was key to see them hold on to all those players, and you still were able to add a couple pieces that right. would shore up the defense. You know, and again, I think it would have been a luxury ad, but it's not a needle mover by missing right. out on him. So right. no matter what the case is, you know, I feel like Florida State's going to be fine because you didn't lose anybody. He felt like maybe a Malcolm Ray type of replacement yeah, or something like yeah, that. But yeah. but you also saw KJ Sampson,
that's
again,
right.
a guy that flashed in the spring. So
that's,
like,
that's right.
I think you're fine without him.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, his top four was LSU, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Kentucky. So, you know, two Big Ten, two SEC schools. And hey, look, if you know, whatever the case may be, why he chose those four and not Florida State, that's fine. I think Florida State is, I think, like you said, you know, Florida State's comfortable, at least right now, running with what it has. And it feels like they probably feel like it wasn't worth whatever the risk or asking cost was. And, you know, honestly, if let's say it was the NIL thing that was just ridiculous, kudos to them for sticking to their guns and making mm-hmm. sure that, hey, they're putting the team before the player, because again, they don't need this player, but he needs a team. And so figuring out where right. that's going to be at as well too. Now, Jesse, you know who will always keep Florida State in their top four? Probably number one is Alumni Hall.
I'm sure of it. And if you want to get top four level gear, playoff championship level gear,
yes,
at a great price, you can use code SPEAR to get 10% off of your order. You can visit them online at alumnihall.com, navigate over to the FSU page, or you can visit them in person at 1415 Timber Lane Road in Tallahassee. So make sure you check those guys out. They have recent new grad alumni gear. So if you have, yeah. if you're a recent new grad, you can load up. But that's code SPEAR to get 10% off. We appreciate you guys supporting those that support us. But yeah, man, I think you hit the nail on the head there. I mean, I think we don't know why. You can't blame kids for taking advantage of things, right. which I will say, I don't know why I put LSU on his list if it's NIL, because, you know, Brian right. Kelly said, oh, we're not paying
That's
for
right.
it.
That's
okay,
right.
Okay, buddy. That's more BS than your Southern accent that you came to Louisiana with.
That's so true.
Right.
That's
so
true.
Yeah, man, it's crazy. But I mean, that's the name of the game now. Like, you could be offer everything in the world, and it could just be a pure NIL play. You just never know. Yeah. I mean, that's how yeah. Miami gets half their recruits.
Right.
You know, it's just backing up the Brinks truck. But so, speaking of some updates here, Michael, let's touch on this ACC lawsuit real quick, because okay. there has been some recent news that has come out. So we'll back to train up a little bit, because we haven't talked about this a whole lot. So We know that the case in Leon County kind of hit a little bit of a mud bog here. They said that you got to go back, do your homework over again. You know, like when you used to cheat on your math homework and they're like, go show your work. And you're like, I didn't know how to do this anyway. I looked it up. But you know, man, they got stuff now. Like these kids got it so easy. You can literally like take a picture of a math problem and it'll solve it for you.
Bro,
like,
these kids don't know what work showing work looks like. I have kids and they come home and my son just does this thing. And I'm like, no. You got to go this. You got to do this. You got to do this. Come on now. We're about to
take our shoes off and figure this one out.
Exactly. We got to add some toes in this thing.
Exactly. See, I just skipped the class if I didn't know. So. But man, it's crazy. But anyway, so like that one did hit a little bit of a stall there because Florida State's lawyers basically had to go back and kind of reshape their argument and come back. And I don't, it's a bad thing for Florida State, but it's a good thing that the judge was like, listen, if you're going to come correct.
Right.
And so you want to make sure you bring the best argument forward. But it hit a delay. And the big thing in this case is it's essentially a race to the finish line because, like, you know, most of you are aware of, whichever state rules first, the other state has to respect that.
They're obligated to.
And so you want the case in Leon County to be the first across the finish line. So when you saw this, and I think it was something around a 2 to 3 week, maybe even a 1 month delay, that was kind of bad. You know, you're sitting on pins and needles there. You're like, uh-oh, well, that's our first L in this case. That's not good. And that's after you saw the North Carolina case where the stay got turned down for discovery. So, like, it delayed you took an L up there, too. Well, you know, then Florida State pulls the Uno reverse card.
That's right.
Out of their pocket. And it's like, oh, wait. We'll get our own delay, our own stay. Yep. And so that's what this does. So Florida State's Board of Trustees, they appeal to the North Carolina State Supreme Court. And the judge up there has put basically a stay in the case until this kind of works itself out. So this is it's good for Florida State. I'm not a lawyer. I can't tell you what this means, you know, in the grand scheme of things. I'm sure there will be a lot of lawyers on a lot of other shows that will be able to help you out with the nitty gritty, but just know it's good for Florida State. Okay. Yeah. You know, it slows down the North Carolina case. It allows them to make up a little bit of ground in Leon County and you know, you feel better about that case in Leon County. The judge has kind of seemed to lean, you know, he's fair. He's fair, but you feel better about home field advantage.
That's right.
And so I think this helps out Florida State with that Leon County lawsuit, if nothing else.
Absolutely. You know what this is like, Jesse? this might be a terrible analogy, but this is like being, you know, your favorite college baseball team, Florida State's playing Clemson or somebody. And, you know, the game is tied. Actually, you know what? Florida State's down two. Right. It's the bottom of the eighth and Clemson is up or whoever. Let's just go with Miami. And no, they don't win much. So let's go with Florida. No, they don't win much either. Let's just go with Clemson. And the player hits a ball. And from the moment that ball gets hit, you're thinking, oh, gosh, this is a home run. And then out of nowhere, the left center fielder comes and just snags it right at the home run fence. And you're like, oh. Okay, we're still in the game.
We're alive.
That's what this feels like. Like, it's not over. It's far from over. But what it has done is it's slowing the momentum. The ACC had a little bit more momentum than Florida State. And basically, from what you and I have been able to understand, this basically kind of evens the score back again. And there's speculation. I'll just say it that way. There's speculation that this might be the thing to help bring the ACC to the settlement table to try to get this thing done by August is what we're seeing out there. Now, we don't know for sure. Again, we always try to say this. We're not legal experts. There's going to be legal experts out there that you can refer to that will probably have more of an insight on this. But this feels like a good step in the right direction for Florida State.
Oh, for sure. And I think it's like, you know, the ACC was about a 3-point favorite on the road. And now it's kind of a coin flip game.
That's so right. Florida State's
back in it. But yeah, man, we'll see. I mean, like you said, it's far from over. But you want every little bit of victory that you can to help you out. Because the closer you can get this to discovery, it's probably going to speed up, like you mentioned, getting things to negotiation. That's where you want to get them to the negotiation table. And so if it looks like that Leon County case is going to progress and you're going to have to accept the results of that, you're going to be closer to the discovery. You're going to be closer to that, to meeting at the table and kind of discussing how we can figure this thing out. And it seems like there's been a lot of talk about really just kind of letting Clemson and Florida State go and then figuring out the rest.
Honestly, but it'd be nice.
Because, you know, even and I didn't really read into it too much, but Clemson is even asking for damages now. So, yeah. You know, not only are they getting thrown out of the club, but they're grabbing a liquor bottle on the way out the door. Like, I'm leaving the club and I'm taking your girl with me. So
that's
like,
right. That's right.
So there's I can't laugh or I'm going to die on this podcast.
I'm so sorry. These are good analogies.
So, yeah, man. So it's cool to see things kind of getting a little heavy there for Clemson, yeah. too. They're starting to put on the big gloves, but that's good, too, man. So let's kind of round this episode out, why I could still breathe. Softball is currently, depending on when you're watching this, it is May the 10th right now. They are in the heat of the ACC tournament. They are due to face Georgia Tech today. The game will probably be decided by the time you listen to this. But we want to wish them luck. If they beat Georgia Tech, they go to the ACC championship game. So, obviously, wishing them the best of luck. Man, after the year that they had,
yeah,
a lot of highs and lows, if they could still come out and manage to win the ACC championship, you know, and then get into the postseason and peak at the right time, that's what it's all about. You know, that's really important, and that would be really huge to see them go ahead and snag that ACC championship. After everybody kind of, you know, was throwing a little bit of shade at Lonnie, yeah, she's still, yeah. You know, she can still come through there. So they only beat Notre Dame to get where they're at. So it's only been, you know, one game so far, right. And you got to get past Georgia Tech, and then you're in the ACC championship.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, they started the year. We had such high expectations after they came off that, you know, College World Series runner up. And we had such high expectations. And I think a lot of us forgot that, you know, they were going to be a little young this year. They were replacing the all legend, Seminole legend, you know, Sandercock, and some of the bats that they lost last year as well, too. And so they didn't start great, but then they went on this really hot stretch for a while where they were just crushing people. And then they kind of hit a snag towards the end there, but now they're back in the ACC tournament and they're one win away from a championship. And that's credit to Coach Lonnie and to that staff and to that team, to be 42-13. And, you know, there's a likelihood they're going to host a regional, it looks like, and be able to, again, have a chance at going far in postseason. And so, man, kudos to them. And hopefully they get the win today and we'll see them in the ACC championship game.
Yeah, and they have, excuse me, on the other side of the bracket is Duke and Clemson right now. So you're going to have to, that's probably who you're going to get, one of those two. Now, they did beat Duke in one of the games, they did lose the series to them. So you're hoping that, but you know, they always say it's hard, and maybe it's just a football thing, but it's hard to beat a team twice in the same season. That's so right. Hopefully maybe they can figure some things out. So, I mean, if you get to that ACC championship against one of those two teams, it's going to be tough. Those are two quality teams, but so is FSU.
That's right.
And speaking of quality round ball teams, let's talk about a little bit of baseball here. Got some news. Link Jarrett did state the other day that Connor Whitaker, the typical Sunday starter, is available again. He is going to be back in the rotation. However, as of right now, they're going to be kind of working him on a pitch count. He's going to be working from the bullpen, which that's what he did last year. He came in from the bullpen. He was really good for them in relief. And I think that's important, man, because the bullpen for FSU baseball has been good. But it's been unreliable at times. It seems like sometimes when they come in, they struggle to find the strike zone. And so, you know, it's almost becomes a question of like, is it better to have him there where you can bring him in for, you know, maybe a couple innings here and a couple innings there versus just kind of throwing him all at a Sunday start where you may even have like the series already won by then. So I think just having that quality reliever is going to be huge for them. Now, unfortunately, they did say that Cam Leiter is still a battle that they're working through right now. So he doesn't sound super promising. You know, at this point, man, you got Pitt, who's not been great. You have Stetson on the road, which is the midweek. Doesn't really make a difference there. And Georgia Tech, who's been kind of up and down, started hot, kind of fell off late in the season. If you could, there's no reason really, unless you just want to work him back on a little pitch count, to bring him back before the ACC tournament. No. But if you know, if it's a situation where you could at least have him back for postseason play, I think that would be huge too. And he may even be in a situation where you don't upset your starting rotation with Carson Dorsey and the guys that you've been working on. Maybe, you know, maybe this is where you bring him in as that middle reliever, you know, like we were talking about with our guy Jeff the other day, the baseball guy. And it's like, you know, that may be a middle reliever situation, or maybe you bring him back as a starter. But if you could have him back for the postseason, that'd be great. Yeah. But you still feel good, man. I think they should pitch a situation. They should win the series, probably sweep. You've already beat Stetson. They've been struggling in those midweeks here lately, but you know, that it doesn't really make a difference. I mean, Florida loses basically every midweek game. and then Georgia Tech, you know, you should be able to win that series as well. And currently right now they are still projected as a top eight seed by D1 and I believe Baseball America as well. So hopefully you can host a regional. Yeah. That would be huge. Obviously, you know, the damage to Hauser wasn't too bad. So I don't, you know, the outfield fence is kind of torn down a little bit. I don't know how that affects things, but you know, I'm sure they'll figure that out before anything happens. But yeah, man, baseball just continuing to roll. You know, found a way to get a win in the last one. It was a little close. Had to go to extra innings. Had to go to 11 innings to beat JU. But you know, man, overall, you know, when I was talking to Jeff the other day, it's like it makes you a little bit concerned that it seems like we peaked a little early. And now the struggles come late in the season. But again, you've got so much data on who can do what now. And Ben Barrett's a guy that's working back in the lineup. You got Connor Whitaker back. So hopefully if you can get some of these guys back from injury and you've already, you know, you've got so much experience with those young arms in the bullpen that hopefully going into the postseason, it's not like you're not throwing someone to the wolves who doesn't have experience.
That's right.
So, you know, they're still putting wins together. They still got a couple of series to kind of get things figured out. And then the ACC tournament, man, and it would be huge for them to be able to go in and, you know, man, an ACC championship would be absolutely massive coming out of where this program was. So I'm excited to see how they close out the season. I'm excited to have Connor Whitaker back coming in from the bullpen, man. I think he's really going to give this bullpen a big boost.
Yeah, I agree. I think however they can work him in to make sure he gets his stamina back up, gets the juice back, throwing all like that would be super great. And then of course, like to be able to have him work out of the bullpen to kind of stabilize that bullpen, because while they've been, you know, growing and getting better, there have been some really wild inconsistencies as well. Yeah. So if he can help bring consistency there, I think that will be a great thing as well. And then of course, like you said, we have the Pitt game, the Pitt series, and then we have the Georgia Tech series. These are great series. You should win them. And these are great series to work, you know, try to work out the kinks. You know, as you know, Jesse, every baseball team, professional, college, high school, whatever, doesn't matter. Everyone goes through a lull. You get a lull in the season. And some happen in the beginning, some happen in the middle, some happen in the end. The goal, and I know what Link is trying to do, is just trying to figure out, okay, who's going to rise in that lull? Who's going to fight through this? Are we going to be able to team that can stop the bleeding when we need to? And I think in some ways that while, yes, maybe they potentially did peak early and now they're in that lull now the goal is to say, okay, how can we not make 1-2 and 2-3? Like, how can we stop at one and get those wins? How can we get better? How can we get those outs when we need to get those out? How can we get those key hits when we need to get those key hits? I think that's what they're trying to figure out. And I think you get these next 7 games to really work through that before the postseason starts.
Yeah. And I mean, at the same time, you look at the only series that they lost, if I'm thinking correctly here, is Clemson, who is like a top 5 team in the country.
Yep. That's right.
And then Wake Forest, who started the season as number 1. And that's so, I mean, they're, you know, you still won a game there. And I mean, you look at the Duke series, you look at the NC State, and, you know, I know that was only 2 games that you split because they had one get postponed. Right. But, you know, they even in a struggle, they've still put up wins. They've you know, finding momentum. And I think what the Pitt and the Georgia, now it can go the other way.
If you lose. It could,
you know, it can go the other way. If you lose to a bad team, it's going to kill some momentum. But if you can go in and say, man, say like you sweep Pitt, you beat Stetson, and then you go through and you beat Georgia Tech in the series win, that's going to give you some good momentum going into that ACC championship series. So there's still about 4 teams that haven't clinched yet. So we're still waiting for the bracket to come out for that. I know I'm excited because it's, you know, right here by my house, the ACC series. So I'm going to, I work some of the days, but I'm going to try and at least make it out to see them play 1 game this season. So, man, I'm excited about that. But Michael, that's pretty much going to about do it for us here on this episode. Just kind of play and catch up after the last week. I still have a plan for that Norvell being the X Factor episode. You know, I just need to be a little bit more long. You know, I need to be able to breathe a little better to do that one. So we'll be back with that one too. We're also starting to get things rolling with that preseason digital magazine that we put together for you guys every year. So hopefully we'll have that out kind of late summer. I mean, it takes months to put this thing together, but we really dig into the details. So that's something that we're getting ready for you guys as well. But again, guys, we always appreciate you tuning in. Sorry for the little bit of delay, but you know, it's a little bit of a slow news cycle right now. So
it is.
We just took a little bit of time off while I was down and out, but you know, we're making it through. Flu Game Podcast a little bit here. Like, man, I'm sweating it up right now. I feel like I'm in a sauna.
Gonna need some soup when you're done.
Oh man, I'm telling you. So Appreciate you guys tuning in. Always, of course, check out Alumni Hall FSU to get the FSU gear that you love at a great price with code SPEAR. And check them out at alumnihall.com or 1415 Timberlane Road. Thanks so much for tuning in. Drop a like and subscribe if you've enjoyed this video and watched this long. For those of you listening on the podcast, we appreciate you guys and your support as well. Yeah. You know, we normally don't ask for this, but a rate and a review on wherever you listen helps us reach more people as we try and grow into the summer and into next season. So with that being said, guys, we will wrap it up here. Michael, thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
Catch you guys on the next one. All right, as always, go Noles.